The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Michael, can you hear me? 'Cause we cannot hear you.
That's because I was muted. Okay, thank you. So good evening, everyone. We are in the Temple of Silence here in Finland, and like a number of groups around the world, we are celebrating the festival week of the New Group of World Servers. And we usually have our inaugural meditation dealing with the purpose for which the Moria Federation was founded in the context of the new and coming esoteric schools, the schools of meditation. So we'll have a chance to think together about the seven schools, the seven schools, and altogether the 14 schools, which will materialize during the Aquarian Age, and probably it won't be only towards the end of the age. Probably as Mercury becomes stronger, it will help to fulfill this emergence of the new esoteric schools. So I'm very happy to see you here. And I imagine that a lot of you are already members of the Moria Federation, either faculty or administration or the student body. And some 60 of us or so, and then we have the staff who are administrators and faculty members. So I will not call out everybody's name right now, but just to say that this is an important inaugural point every year. And tonight we will have the, I think, what time is it? Does it start? The actual entry of the sun into the sign Capricorn, the actual solstice moment, and it's 2:45. It begins at 2:45 a.m. and here in Finland at 4:45. So it is for some people the wee hours. It will be a broadcast, and Tuija will lead that. And then on to the next day's activities, which will begin at 9:30 a.m. GMT. So we have a lot to do esoterically. And I'm very happy that you are participating in this interior work. And now our meditation begins. So we go through the phase first of alignment. And we achieve physical poise and comfort. Alignment is both, in a way, the beginning and the end of the process. So we quiet our personality through steady rhythmic breathing. And we begin to pull back, as it were. The stage is technically called pratyahara. We abstract our awareness, our consciousness, from the personality vehicles and focus in the observer, who is the disciple, the self-conscious soul in incarnation. And I do think we will eventually discover that the observer is a very, very deep point of spirit within us. There are many stages of the observer, but the first one is, let's just say, within the personality, or getting ready to transfer itself into the world of love and light and spiritual power or will, the world of the soul. So this is a kind of detachment. We imaginatively merge and blend this soul, this awareness, which is usually immersed within the personality, but we remove it from that enclosure and find ourselves entering a larger consciousness, the soul on its own plane. Now, every one of us is equipped with this egoic lotus, this causal body, and when the masters really want to see what kind of situation we're in evolutionarily, they will include a good hard look at causal body development. Now, whether you're a member of the Maurya Federation yet, you certainly are interested in the deep esoteric teaching. So, you know, you can, during the course of this meditation, if you're not a member yet of the Federation, you know, Master Maurya is the head of all esoteric schools and organizations, so we are told. We can imagine ourselves as within the context of those who are absorbing the great light through the ageless wisdom in the various ways that it is presented, especially by Masters Maurya Kutumi and Chual Kul, who made it their mission to bring the ageless wisdom closer and closer to humanity, despite the protests of some of their own confreres who thought it might be premature. So it's as if we enter that world of light, of love, and of sacrificial will. Try to get the feeling of that. Because it's necessary not just to talk about these things, but actually to do them. So the focus of our consciousness now, imaginatively, is the causal body or the egoic lotus on the higher mental plane, higher mental plane, separated by the dotted line from the lower mental plane. This is the area of higher mind, and there's a kind of a unitivity, you might say, to this type of mind, and Venus is very much involved, drawing in harmony and in love the different, apparently different souls together. Now, and when we think of ourselves, you know, it should not be so much what we see walking around and feeling and thinking, you know, in the lower concrete sense, we should think of ourselves in terms of the higher temple that we are building, where we store the qualities that we have been able to master, store them for future use and for a virtuous action. So we visualize our fellow students in the Moria Federation student group, and we may not know them personally, but increasingly, of course, we will, and we'll probably be spending time as schoolmates in the future. And if you come to conference, you know, you'll meet many of these people. So anyway, these students, these faculty, these administrators, we understand them to be souls expressing through egoic lotuses. And we experiment with merging in the group and soul consciousness. Let's take a little time to imaginatively do that. So we maybe begin to understand what a truer home may be. Kind of a Jupiterian, kind of a Venusian home, and being very much a blend in a way of the Leo effulgence and the Cancer sphericity. A protected place, a harbor for divine quality. And you can see others around you who you know to be students or future or prospective students. You can see them in the same light. We're at that point when we're getting ready to move into the fifth kingdom of nature. And a lot of that is the ability to focus the consciousness on the higher mental plane. And DK even said, look, we can't meditate properly because so few are actually able to do that, to focus the consciousness within the higher mental plane. Now, the bridge to the higher life is called the inner organ or the Antahkarana. And it contains all the colors, especially the ones that mark out your soul ray and your personality ray. Here are some of the colors one can use when seeing this. There are other and sometimes esoteric colors, and sometimes the esoteric colors are being used here. For the first ray, red, second ray, indigo blue, third ray, green, fourth ray, yellow, fifth ray, orange, though it has a very strong indigo quality esoterically, sixth ray, silvery, rose, seventh ray, violet. And from that point, we call the mental unit, portrayed this way upon the fourth subplane of the lower mental plane, there will be collected a group of energies. The energies will come from below, from the astral plane, and they will come from the tiers, the circles of the egoic lotus, knowledge, love, and sacrifice, synthesis, and from the jewel in the lotus. And they will be held in a ring pass knot, and through them, beginning in a way with the aspirational work of the astral body, and reaching towards the Buddhic field, this bridge of light will pass through the group of retained energies. And we can project into the higher worlds, where we can find all kinds of wisdom, which are not available to us in the normal lower state of consciousness. So what we do is, depending on what may be our soul ray and personality ray, we, when we're working especially by ourselves, we use the various words of power to project a line of living light through the retained energies and into the triad, and we will discover that the triadal energies will come forth to meet us somewhere along the line of projection, and great events will occur. We're not yet in the position where we can, in full consciousness, reach the atomic permanent atom, the Buddhic permanent atom, even the monastic permanent atom. And as far as the monad goes, one almost has to be a sixth degree initiate to do any more than feel the impression coming from the monad. So we never know what's going to happen when we project this line of living light or living fire. Different colors are used here. If we were working by ourselves, you know, ray one, I assert the fact. In red, ray two, I see the greatest light. In the indigo blue, ray three, purpose itself am I. In the green, and quite invisible here, but ray four, two merge with one. In the color yellow, ray five, three minds unite. The union of the mental field, we'll use the color orange, but you know, the indigo color is esoterically possible. The sixth ray, the highest light controls. And how is that different from I see the greatest light? the silvery rose is there, but also the light blue is possible. And then finally, the ray of the new age in violet, the highest and the lowest meet. So, but when we work in group formation like this, and since we are largely second ray groups and we study with the second ray master, Master DK, we will use, I see the greatest light. It's the light of Shambhala. It's the great unfettered enlightenment pouring forth from Shambhala. Now, you know, so probably we use that name too glibly these days. There are masters who can't even enter that field of love eternal, light supernal, and peaceful, silent will. So who are we? But still we can be impressed. So from the group, the many antichoronic strands of magnetic light are combined into the group Antikarana, the Rainbow Bridge. If you go to the Moria Federation at gmail.com, our little website, you'll see Francis Donald's illustration of this, and it's an inspiring illustration. So the Rainbow Bridge appears before us, and this group Antikarana, well, all kinds of symbolism is possible. We can see in a way a brilliant blue white diamond of light high above the group. That diamond can represent Sirius, it can represent Shambhala. And we're going to sort of imaginatively enter into what we cannot yet fully appreciate, the unfettered light of Shambhala. But, you know, with the new esoteric schools and the revelation of the secret well guarded at the root of true esoteric schools, we're going to know what these higher points of power really represent and how we can, as a group at least, appropriate something from that great energy field. If hierarchy is a strain, you know, to find the way to really accord with hierarchy, as we are all trying to do, then just imagine what it means to really open ourselves to Shambhala. So, let's together as a group, sounding the outer ohm, and inwardly saying to ourselves, in whatever language you use, I see the greatest light. We'll do it three times, and we'll imagine a rapier light like line of living light entering the what we usually call now the formless worlds. There's a type of form, but we oftentimes, compared to concrete form, we call them the formless worlds. And we'll sound the ohm and watch the projection powerfully ascend through all the seven colors, and especially as part of the living indigo blue that characterizes the efforts of so many of us. So when I sound the ohm, you'll say internally, I see the greatest light. And we know that as we use this Antaharana meditation, our depth of penetration will increase and the response of the higher worlds will be more powerful and events will occur along the Antaharana until the day really comes when we are masters and chohans and can live in the points of power and love and mind, etc., towards which we project. Now, the Sanat Kumara, he's the highest example of the teaching ray upon our planet. Sort of a projection of the soul of our planetary logos, the rays of our planetary logos, who is not yet a sacred planet, are the Ray 3 personality. The Ray 2 soul, and one day to be revealed, although you can see hints of it all the time, is the Ray 1 monad. So Sanat Kumara, of course, carrying the expression of the planetary logos, really a part of that being, carries not only Ray 1, but particularly emphasizes the teaching aspect. The Lord of Venusian love, and he has a particular path that he takes into our solar, into our globe. So, you know, if you look at this, I think it's very clear what Tuya prepared here. This, there's a big focus here of Sanat Kumara in the Venus globe of the second chain, whichever one that actually may be. It looks kind of like the bottom one here. There's always seven globes here, and it's not so much that he begins from the planet Venus as that he's inspired from the planet Venus and comes to the Venus globe of the Earth chain and thence to our little globe that we customarily call the Earth. And, you know, in a way, his task is to bring the divine plan, the divine purpose, to bring heaven to Earth. The highest and the lowest meet in his case. And although the rays of Earth may not include much of the seventh ray per se, the code number for our Earth planet is 777. Just the way we could presume that Venus is 555 and Mars 666 and so forth, Saturn 333, Jupiter 222, so forth. This represents the ideal consummation of these planets. Now, we're in a tremendous transformatory period. Sanat Kumara has taken a number of initiations, traveling from chain to chain. Now he's in the fourth chain, and he's taking a very painful, stressful renunciation. The planetary logos's series of initiations are a little different. He's a higher being yet, in a way. All of us beings are really emanations. And you see that a lot in the Buddhist theology and cosmogony and cosmology. You see emanation theory everywhere, and I think there's no real truth to understanding how this arises from that without emanation theory. So, one of the things we have to do is educate the fourth kingdom of nature, which is also, in a way, the fourth creative hierarchy. It is what we know as the human kingdom and the hierarchy of human monads, and the time has come. We're about to experience in 2025 the entrance of the fourth ray, the fourth ray Lord, from its monadic aspect, whatever that really means. And I think we'll see tremendous development in the hierarchy of human monads, because the time has come to change kingdoms, and we students of the Age of Wisdom are trying to help ourselves, of course. You have to help yourself before you can really help someone. And others change kingdoms from the fourth to the fifth. Now, he's at the center of Shambhala, Sanat Kumara. And that we can investigate what Shambhala really is. It's not just a global focus. It's a planar, it's a chain focus, and it's also a scheme focus. And we're making, in a way, application towards that tremendous focus. And we do that by really educating ourselves. Eventually, on this planet, we will become omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent within the range of the planet. So the GK begins by saying there are four great schools that are coming out of Sanat Kumara's educational efforts. And whether we realize it or not, and however intense our involvement may be, maybe not too intense yet, we are finding ourselves in one of those great schools, even right now. So this division into four gives us the externalization of the, quote, one fundamental school of occultism in Shambhala. Think about that for a moment, and think about the way that it manifests. One fundamental school of occultism in Shambhala, a great educational effort is underway, and we know that our masters are trying to make sure that we avail ourselves of this great university program. It's universal, at least with regard to the planet and maybe the solar system. So what are the four divisions in which you definitely should be a participant, at least in one of them? The first is the Trans-Himalayan branch of the One Great University, and it serves the first, fourth, and fifth sub-races of the Aryan race. The Indian sub-race, or maybe we can call it Hindu sub-race. Then there's a question about the second sub-race, exactly what it is, and whether it involves the Egyptians and the Mayans and so forth. Philip Lindsay has some excellent speculation. And then the Teutonic sub-race number 5. Basically, he's saying, that's it. If you're from the West, that's your school. The Trans-Himalayan branch. And all of this ageless wisdom work that we're studying is from that Trans-Himalayan branch, where the masters with whom we are familiar, and there are many more, make their expression. Then there's the Southern Indian branch, and it's serving the second and third sub-races of the Aryan race. There's a lot to learn there about the Day of the Kingdom. It's not our school, we who have grown up in the West, but there's so much to learn from it. And we do, and you see Master DK, who has obviously experience with the second branch, you see him drawing upon that knowledge. Then the next one maybe is a little remote for us. It's a branch that works with the fourth root race, and it has 2 fourth root race masters or adepts at its head. This is not our school, but there's so much to learn about the Tao and the I Ching and, you know, so much of the Eastern wisdom through China and so forth, Japan and so forth, the whole Eastern group. And there are many, many people in that group. And then, finally, what hasn't happened yet, a branch forming that will have its headquarters in the West, the Occident, at some place not yet disclosed. 4, it has its main object, the instructing of those connected with the coming sixth root race. Okay, so it's emerging slowly. And of course, Brazil and other South American areas seem to be involved in that. How long will this root race last? Will it surprise you if I say that DK says about 10 million years, and we haven't even begun yet? In a way, the Aryan race is very short. The Atlantean root race, sub-race, has been long. Lemuria even longer, beginning again now to lengthen will be the sixth root race. And many of us are candidates for learning about it and joining that sixth root race. Right now we can join, if we will, the sixth sub race of the fifth root race. So, DK is very strict here. He really asks us not to wander away. Impress upon your mind that the Trans-Himalayan branch, and later a fourth and as yet unformed branch in the Occident, are the only branches of the one fundamental school of occultism in Shambhala to which Western students of occultism will belong. So the preparatory schools, you know, they will be very much along the line at first of Western universities. And right now in the work you're doing here, and if you're a member of the Maurya Federation or Arcane School or School for Esoteric Studies and so forth, the various occult groups springing from Maurya, KH, and DK, you are preparing. So this helps us take the long-range point of view. Now, if we descend towards the Christ in our imagination, we can offer to cooperate with him, because he will be with us for almost 2,000 years, maybe a bit more. Very different from the last appearance in the so-called Holy Land. And is it possible to find within ourselves, if this is your line, because, you know, every member of hierarchy is an educator, a healer, a divine psychologist. It's just the very nature of belonging to hierarchy. You are all those things when you're really a member of hierarchy. Is it possible to find within ourselves the pledge that we will do all we can to facilitate his reappearance and, for many centuries, the upliftment of humanity under his guidance? He is, after all, you know, when Master DK says, it's such a, you know, characteristic statement of him, "I number myself among the humblest of the friends of the Christ." And the friends of the Christ are oftentimes on the wisdom line, not just only the love line. And DK, we know, has very strong wisdom and knowledge. And he says, "Yes, I am technically a friend of the Christ, and I do not presume, I'm just a beginner." Now, somehow realize that the emerging new schools of meditation will contribute, will contribute to the success of the Christ mission as the Bodhisattva of the Aquarian Age. These new schools are not just so we can feel good about some knowledge we have. They are for the purpose of integrating us into the divine plan. And it's a project which will last centuries. Think about the Seed Group project, 275 years. We've not even had 100 years yet of that Seed Group project, which he basically began as he was gathering his ashram after the 1925 conclave. Almost 100 years, but still 175 left to go. The masters lay plans that span centuries. Now the masters connected with this vast educational effort, of course, Master M, the head of all the schools, Master KH, who sponsors the Christ through his ashram, Master DK, the great teacher of the Blue Books, and then further, coming up, we have Master R, a certain English master, and another master, H. Galarian, who has so much to teach the scientists of the world. These are the six-pointed star surrounding the Christ. We should never forget that. Slowly, they lay their plans. Their good plans, they're well thought through, and they will be setting up education that will really work in the deeper things. Now, you know, it depends on the extent to which you want to participate in that. Remember that Master DK said that if anybody chooses me as their master and works with me for a long time, it either suggests that that person has a secondary soul or a secondary monad. The other rays didn't do so well with him. It's very interesting. You'd think they might, but it was the second rays and the first rays who succeeded with him. So, Master, you can arrange these in different ways, you know. I'm not saying that it has to be exactly so, but one thing we do realize is that the Lord of Manifestation, Master R, in the matter of the esoteric schools, will be opposite in the six-pointed star of Master Moria, who is the inspiration for the whole thing. So different geometries can be worked out. Probably it's not so important as to simply realize certain masters are behind the new education. Now, you probably studied this. You go into Letters on Occult Meditation, about page 299. It talks about the new esoteric schools as much as can be understood or could be understood at that time. And you may find that in your own country, one of these is developing. And he did say that before long, any country of any development whatsoever would have its own esoteric schools. Obviously, when a country is still functioning at a strictly emotional or lower mental level, you can't have that yet. But eventually, the more advanced countries will have their own esoteric schools. And right now, we think about 14, 7 preparatory, 7 advanced, and mostly our work is to think about the preparatory schools, even though some movement towards advanced schools has begun. So, you know, these are all ray schools. Try to feel into it a little bit, what might be their quality. For preparatory schools, either Greece or Syria, you see the terrible things that Syria is going through, you begin to wonder if that's a prelude to better things ahead. And of course, Greece is the home of the great Western philosophy. Then in the middle of the United States, it's obviously going to be some kind of sixth-ray school. And then in southern France, and you'd suspect that it would accord with the soul ray of its own nation and have a lot of the fifth ray. I don't think there's a way to be definite about this just yet. Well, Scotland or Wales. There's a lot of the second ray and maybe the fourth ray involved there. Notice it says this or that. These different areas will prove whether they are the home for the schools or not by what disciples in those areas decide. So just think how you're related to these, you know. Then New Zealand, it has, I think, a very strong seventh ray and a second ray. You know, there's some duplication here. It's part of the British Commonwealth, as it used to be called, or I forget exactly the earlier name, but it had to do with a great alliance in British-related countries and colonies. So obviously the second ray would be important. And believe it or not, Japan, with its Scorpio soul, Japan does have a fourth ray soul. Now, you know, it's part of this trans-Himalayan development, and yet you can see it's also related to the Western, those two adepts from the fourth root race. So I don't think we have to force ourselves to know yet exactly what these schools will be, but this is where the work is. And maybe pause for a moment and think, do you find yourself related to any of this? Because when an esoteric school, well, let's just put it like this, when the causal body of a country reaches a certain degree of development, it can have its own esoteric school. That's the challenge to us. To help our nation through our esoteric citizenship to develop its causal body. And maybe your qualities are helping. Excuse me. Now, you would think that only the preparatory schools would be mentioned, but actually DK does mention some of the coming advanced schools as if their progress is relatively rapid, like in the United States, for instance, and I don't know, maybe Russia and a few other places. You say Australia, he mentions Australia. And these schools are related to each other. One prepares, and as you pass through their ranks, after a drastic entrance examination, and your karma being looked up, and your fitness for that work being examined, then you know, according to what you know and how well you have absorbed your esotericism, that will be determining the number of years you will spend in the preparatory work before moving on to the much more independent advanced work, which, can you call it a school? Well, it's a supervised investigation, and the number is the number of Shambhala, 24 students. Apparently, in each one of these, and three very advanced teachers who work subjectively with the students. So you look at Egypt, it's has a lot of first and fourth ray. It's probably one of the later schools to emerge. Then California, probably be along the line of the second ray, related to the Midwestern school. Then Italy, it's the Maha Chohan's school, probably related to, particularly to the fifth ray school in France, which is preparatory. Well, then Ireland. We have to see how that goes. That Ireland is specifically the Bodhisattva's school. So it's not only got the great fourth ray of the Irish, but the great love wisdom ray, the school of the Bodhisattva. Russia, probably pretty much a seventh ray school, according with the soul ray of that nation. Australia, it's difficult to determine. Maybe I think there's a lot of first ray there, but of course there are also other rays. So when DK says these are ray schools, we have to wait and see how the masters think about the emergence of ray schools. And then Western China sounds to me like DK's foreknowledge, this sounds suspiciously like Tibet. This is a synthetic school. It's hard to say what ray is involved. They have so many, but probably some ray will be assigned. There's a lot of Scorpio in it, a lot of the mastery of death and so forth. Now, do you feel at this time related to any of these? It's not like you necessarily have to live in that country. You know, your karma from the past may direct you towards a school which is altogether other than the country in which you live. But as DK says, you know, if you really study this stuff, you see it's rather far ahead. Now, Moria Federation is none of these. It's none of these 14 schools, but it is a method of training people for work in the preparatory schools. And we use Master DK's curriculum, which is very comprehensive. We can't do everything he suggests. We can do a fair amount. And maybe in our next life, we'll be more ready. And things will be more emergent. And maybe we will be among those who help such things emerge. Remember what the Christ said in the desert with Master Moria. By human hands and human feet will the temple be built. So all that lies ahead, and in the Moria Federation, we try to work in that direction and improve our service to humanity through our growing knowledge and our growing meditative penetration. Think about that. If we really took our development seriously, we wouldn't waste our time. I'm always appalled and somehow arrested in my attention when I hear Master Moria say that to waste your own time is suicide and to waste the time of another is murder. Well, anyway, this is what's going on behind the scenes. This is the purpose behind our work in the Moria Federation. And it is a federation of different rays and signs and objectives, but everybody wants the greater light and the greater love and the greater sacrificial will. So maybe if we've ever spoken an internal oath to ourselves about persisting in our occult studies, because so many people run into a little difficulty and they drop out, you know. They put their hand to the plow and they turn back. Maybe we want to spend a few moments of silence to remind ourselves about the necessity for ongoing persistence without turning back. somewhere DK tells us in words that again are arresting, that the realization of the disciple that he has to keep moving forward is both the bliss and the terror of his situation. And by the time you've taken the second initiation, you will recognize the phenomenal impression of having entered the stream. And that means that between the first and second degree, you may have been swimming along on your own power against many countercurrents. But by the time the second degree is reached, there is a current which is carrying you towards the ashram. Here in the Moria Federation, regardless of how difficult it may be at times for people, we hope to help them enter that current and be carried towards greater and greater light. Well, I think you get the idea. From Sanat Kumara, at the one fundamental school of occultism, the great uninhibited light pours down. It's an unrestrained, irresistible light. When it goes through the four great branches of the great spiritual university and then goes into smaller national sections that undertake the real work of meticulous education, and then more and more you are equipped to really help. That's our goal. We don't say we know everything, not by any means. And we don't say it's easy, it's not easy. And many people discover, oh my goodness, my family, my job, my health. How do I keep this going? Well, some do. And it's up to you if you can see the vision, as it was said earlier today, enough to mobilize your will so you just keep on keeping on, as they say in the arcane school. So keep on keeping on. So to close our work together, we are receiving from above and working eventually in the advanced and preparatory schools, and now working in the bridging schools towards the preparatory schools. It's a big educational project. Well, you would imagine that to be the case. The second ray, the great educational ray, is the soul ray of this planet. So as we study year after year, for those that hang on or adjust their program so that they can handle it, and Kay Hannon is always very good at helping people put on their plate what they can eat. You know, we have flexibility there. We just realize we're part of a great tradition of illumination. I think there are very few people who would like to study and meditate the way Master DK has. In the Dalai Lama's Kala Chakra 2011, we had been there too, and I, and Asher was there too, and maybe I think some others here were there. You just got the impression when reading about the Tibetan saints that Master DK was Arya Sangha and Master KH was Nagarjuna. Naga, the serpent, Arjuna, the warrior, the serpent warrior, and Arya Sangha, the noble community of the Buddha. And you got the impression that he was the one who communicated with the Lord Maitreya in the Tushita heavens. So it gave, you know, yet another insight, I think, on an earlier incarnation of Master DK. So what was it that you said to yourself, that you vowed to yourself, that you would renew, that you would keep? What was it? So it is serious business we're involved in, and we intend to help each other. And if we think in back of all of the blood, sweat, and tears, you know, you go through when you're really studying and meditating and serving, there's a very deep purpose to it all. And I hope that this little review will encourage people to renew their vows, stick with the plow, forge ahead, and find a very renewed power in service because of what they learn and what they are impressed by. So the great invocation then. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. from the center, where the will of God is known. Let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Okay, friends, whether or not you are a member of the Moria Federation or maybe are planning to be so, you're most welcome to participate in this kind of meditation, which shows why we're doing what we're doing. Now, the hour here is late, and before long, we'll be having the solstice ingress, the moment. And what do we begin? I think 4:45 here in Finland, and 2:45 is in GMT, and then in London, 4:19:19 is the moment of the solstice, and then here it's 6:19:19. And the program in the morning is lighter, a little bit lighter than the program today has been. So thank you for meditating, attending, et cetera, et cetera. And gradually, the ones of these which really worked will be sent to Makara, and you'll be able to review them if you wish, or recommend some of these programs to your friends. So many blessings. And good night, good day, and good whatever, as we head off. It's already 20 to 1, isn't it? Here it is. Okay, so bye-bye for now. Tuya, did you have something you wanted to say?
Goodbye.
Sorry for the coughing, it just goes with the turf. Thank you. Now remember, won't be long now. Maybe by 4:30 if you get here. Something like that.
No, we start in the dark. As he wants to. Do you want me to? Yes, please. Thank you.
Are some of you going away to My Vic, or is everybody here?
Huh?
Everybody's here. Everybody's here. That's nice.
Yes, that is with you. Yes, we don't get them. Yes, having the ceremony, I'm talking.